It's time for another edition of The Rocketry Show at therocketryshow.com. In this episode, we're going to be talking to Jason Cook of Insane Rocketry. We're going to be talking about the Insane Rocketry product, which is really cool, and all kinds of other rocketry topics as well. Get ready, The Rocketry Show starts right after this. This week's episode of The Rocketry Show is brought to you by Sirius Rocketry. Sirius Rocketry is a full-line rocketry store by a rocketeer for rocketeers, with great rocketry kits and supplies from familiar companies and more. You can check out the amazing and popular Sirius Rocketry kits that harken back to the days of fun-to-build detailed kits that are more than just three fins and a nose cone. SiriusRocketry.biz, since 1998, providing the rocketeer with great kits, motor supplies, and more. Visit their website at SiriusRocketry.biz and .com. Sirius Rocketry, for the serious rocketeer. And by listeners like you. Your support of The Rocketry Show helps us to grow and get around to places so we can cover more things in rocketry. For more information on how you can support the show, go to patreon.com/The Rocketry Show.
You're listening to The Rocketry Show, brought to you by the guys who love the smell of burning ammonium perchlorate in the morning. CG, Gene, and Daniel, the Rocket Noob.
All right, I'm cooler than you are. Why don't you fix your little problems and light this candle?
Yes. Resume the countdown.
9. Here are CG, Gene, and the Rocket Noob.
4, 3, 2, 1. And liftoff.
Welcome to another edition of The Rocketry Show with CG,
Jim,
and Daniel the Rocket Noob.
All righty. So we have a great show for you. We're a very special guest. Jim, tell us all about it.
All right. Today, for your listening enjoyment, we have Jason Cook of InsaneRocketry.com. And we're here to talk a little bit to Jason. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great.
Good. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that he's up to, which includes an Insane Rockets app, which provides telemetry on Android or iOS. And you can find your rocket either cell phone data upon landing or get real-time telemetry reported in flight via GRMS or ham radio. So there's all kinds of cool stuff involved with this app. And it's kind of I saw it and I have it and I started playing with it. And I was like, I got to talk to this guy about it and find out what's going on with it, because it's a really cool little app that is used. So welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you. I do have some unfortunate news. Apple declined my last update of the app, saying that it puts the phone at risk, and they thought it was too much risk, and so they removed it, or I willingly removed it from the App Store.
Oh, no.
Are they being wussy because it said Rocket?
Yeah, well, I did have a very clear warning message that you're putting the phone in potential harm, but it violated a guideline that they had, and they felt like it pushed it a little bit too far. So we're just Android now, but we do a lot on Android. It's a fantastic app, and I'm quite proud of it. It's packed with functionality. It's got a proven track record.
Excellent.
Yeah, could you tell us a little bit about it for the guys that may not have heard about this, and what it is, what it does, how it works, all that good stuff?
Absolutely. And this started as just a little teeny hobby app. I just wanted to find my rocket when I launched it, and I didn't want to. I wanted to use my old cell phone, you know, and I could just swap my SIM card, put it in the old cell phone, launch it, get some video from it, get some telemetry data. And after I did that for about a year and a half, I kept improving the app through that time. I started trusting my rockets more and the packaging, the way that I store my actual phone within the storage bay of the rocket. And I started getting more robust phones in there. And then I started putting my highest end phones in there. And for example, now I'm putting my Nexus 5X with 4K video. It's got 8 Gs accelerometer on every axis, magnometer information. It's got everything. It's just awesome. I get GPS information at fairly good intervals. I generate plots of all this information where you can see visual online graphs. You can look at it on Google Earth, and I actually mix it, you know, since most of the net, or at least Google Nexus, and actually I think almost all of the modern phones also include a barometer these days. I mix the two. I take the GPS data and I take the barometer data, and by merging the two, you get very smooth graphs of your entire performance of your entire flight. When the rocket lands, I send that telemetry information over the network, if you have cell service in the area where you launch your rockets, and you're able to walk straight to where your rocket is recovered. I actually plot that on Google Maps, and you can see your position and the rocket's position. You walk straight to it.
So essentially, to get it to work, you need to have another phone that's on cell phone talking to that one. Is that correct? Just to clarify for you guys.
No, actually, you can do it just as simply as a recorder. When the app senses a launch, it starts recording data and video. And when you recover the rocket, you could then download that data and video to your computer. However, if you have cell service with it, then I provide additional functionality where you can actually look at the telemetry information right as your rocket lands. I then tell the apogee point, I tell how many revolutions it had up until apogee. I tell statistics for descent rate, and of course landing position, which is the most important thing. What's also kind of cool, and I took a trip out west in I think it was, when did I go? I launched my first N motor out there in Colorado, and I used my phone completely, even though I knew there was no cell signal. This was in 2014, June. I hooked it up to a GRMS radio. And so at periodic intervals, my phone would speak. Siri would speak. I was specifically an iPhone app at that point, and it was internal. I didn't have it for anyone else at that point. I just had the GRMS radio speak or repeat what Siri was saying, and I was able to get the GPS telemetry, so I was able to locate my rocket absolutely no problem, especially with the signal strength that you can put on GRMS radios. I had a 36-mile GRMS radio within the rocket. What's cool. that?
You could potentially have up to a 50-mile radius on that, depending upon what you can fit in the rocket, right? Or more.
Now, you got to be careful, because you got to keep in mind when you start putting that kind of wattage next to your pyro.
Yeah,
there is that.
you can get some bleed through, and so you want to make sure you shield your wiring. And if it looks to be in it, do ground testing and have that radio engage, because I basically keep the radio off until the synthesized voice starts speaking, so that I don't clog up the entire channel. And so basically you want to make sure the radio is engaged, and just try to turn on your stratologgers or whatever you're using for electronics. And make sure you don't see your pyros fire or anything like that because of the capacitors charging. Right. So you have to be careful on that regard. And in fact, if you just throw the GRMS radio and put it way up in the nose cone, connect it to Bluetooth, right? And have the Bluetooth on your Nexus system so that all of it's speaking that way, then you don't even have you're far away from where your electronics bay is. And then there's very little chance of any type of bleed through.
Yes. So you essentially started this app just for yourself, right?
Nerding out. I'm a computer programmer. That's what I've done.
We don't allow nerding out here.
What's that?
So we don't allow nerding out here. Go ahead.
No, well, nerding for you.
You know, I have no problems in saying that I nerd out. My daughter calls all of my rocket stuff rocket crap. You can
must
tell
be a
that
teenager.
She's fairly sick of it. That just means that it's a little bit of time that daddy is away from her.
Teenager, yeah. So you're a computer programmer, and then where'd you take it from there?
As far as, you know, I got back into rocketry. I'm a born again rocketeer. Back in, it was only 2013. I had left the hobby in 1980, when I had, started high school, basically. Okay. And, I was a programmer. I knew that's what my career was going to be. And, got focused in on what my career was going to be, and I left rockets behind. Briefly, I almost got back into rocketry, I would say, around 1990. But instead, RC pulled me towards it, and I got into remote control gliders and outfitting them with lights and flying them upside down at night and all kinds of cool stuff like that. Back to the app, it was just a continuous incremental thing. I mean, now the app not only records all this data, but the second that your rocket lands, if you have cell service, I automatically upload high resolution data to the internet, where you can immediately view your rocket's all the data, all the graphs. You can go into Google Earth on another phone and take a look at the exact course that your rocket took.
Cool.
And then right after I get done doing that, I upload high resolution video. If you, this is all optional. You just set the options within the settings. And then I upload the video, and if it senses that it's launching again, because you've loaded up another rocket, I pause that upload for a little bit, record the telemetry data from the next launch, and continue on my merry way.
I'm going to play a little sample of this if I can bring up some of what it sounds like. So let's see, because I've got the app right here.
And oh, cool.
Launch it.
Yeah, figures you would have it, Gene.
I do.
Insane Rockets appears to be entering.
Oop, here we go.
Okay, that's the iPhone version. It was the last version that was released. And unfortunately, she's speaking real slow. Because they had changed their settings, and I needed to update the app, and that's when they rejected my update and said that I was violating the rules. On the Nexus, it sounds pretty good.
It sounds like I was thinking like Kate.
Bearing 0 degrees. It sounds like, yeah.
And the way that
distance 0 feet. GPS 41.6683. Minus 81.346.
That's just a quick sample of it.
The way the Apple update bugs goes with it, it just sounds like a drunken Siri.
I know. I heard that. I was like, oh, that's got to be an update or something, you know? Siri's a little sluggish. I was thinking more like she's
down now.
She just came from the dentist.
Yeah. There you go.
That's the right way.
AGL minus 2, max 21, battery 82, WQTZ 686.
It gives a ton of information, which I think is fantastic. And it sounded like, I was thinking, it's like, is my rocket club at high school, they really want a Kate. And so they've been watching videos on Kate and all this other stuff. And it's like, that's a $3,000 package. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, have you guys seen this? And I showed
this
it to
cool.
them, and I talked about the Android app, and they're like, oh, because they're building a 7.5-inch payload bay, which they could easily fit an Android phone into, I would think. You know, and you can pick up one for $30 somewhere and just go with it. But I have a feeling that it would work pretty well for what their application is, and probably most applications, because the data that you get from this is incredible. I was looking at it going, okay, so I've got my descent rate, I've got coordinates, I've got flight plans in Google Earth with the whole 3D flight plan thing. You know, it's a pretty amazing system.
Yeah.
You know, from one guy just putting it together. I gotta give you credit for this, Jason. It's pretty cool.
Thank
and
you.
Video.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And video, yeah.
And
everything
and
else.
Video.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it does everything in one device, which is really, because like if you think about, you want to put all that stuff. Okay, you're building your big project, or you're building, and you got enough space. You got your GoPro, you got, you know, or your keychain cam or whatever. You got some kind of telemetry system, whether it's an AIM base or Kate or whatever it is, and that starts at racking up some cash. And then you got all these devices, and then it adds a lot of weight, and you're not going to get the altitude that you might want it because you're adding basically half a pound to the rocket. And this seems to work very well. I've tested it once, and I didn't do any video on the one that I tested with, but it worked out perfectly. I got the data that I needed just in a test. So it's very cool. The question
and,
that I have.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that's where it all started is I just, you know, it started with me being cheap, and then it was consolidation. You know, it's like, man, and phones are built very, very rugged. They're made to handle a lot of shock automatically. So if you just sleeve them with an anti-shock, a type container, and then you build your electronics bay around it, they can handle quite a bit. In fact, I had a rocket Kato on an L motor, and it was 500 feet in the air. And it came down with my phone, brand new phone. It was an iPhone 6.
Ooh.
And it smashed Ouch. Right into the road, and it broke Oops. Open the electronics bay, or at least cracked it. It didn't break all the way open, but the iPhone was fine. And I've got pictures on the website insanerocketry.com of actually how I house the phone. I add some shock absorption into it and that sort of thing. But I know that. Partially luck and probably because of the shock that I allowed for within that bay that allowed my phone to survive that.
What do you think the best way to pack it up? Let's say you're going for the full Monty package with the video and stuff. How would you mount that? I mean, would you like have an opening in the fuselage with some like clear plastic covering, or how would you do that to get the video?
Yeah, the clear plastic covering over wherever the hole is, or using a monocle, a glass flat monocle, over wherever you drill the hole. And usually I put it right in the bay with all my avionics, and I make a mount around that. And typically I tilt the phone slightly so that I see more ground than sky, because that's the interesting part. You want to see the ground as it's going up.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
I'll probably add a mirror at some point, you know, and test that out where I can look down. Obviously, not for my supersonic flights or anything like that, but for the slower 500 mile an hour flights, I'll do that.
When you got back into rocketry as a born again guy, you said 2013. That's only about 3 or 4 years ago. So, how fast did you go to do an L3 at this point? Because you must have really jumped in. Can you tell us a little bit about your bar journey? Because those are always fun.
Yeah,
to hear.
My friend brought over bottle rockets on July in 2013, and it reminded me of rocketry. And the next day, I went to the Hobby Town, and I picked up a rocket that could have e-motors, and I had never flown an e-motor, so I was very excited about that, and I launched it, and remembered about the NAR, immediately joined that, and within, let's see, I got a time frame here, within a month or two, I was launching my first level one rocket with full dual deployment, because I'm an electronics wow. nerd. So
yeah, I
did did my yeah. L1, and I had glassed my EZI-65 because I wanted to take it on a grand adventure. Nice. And then, one month later, I got my level 2 certification, and I flew it on a J motor with the dual deployment. Jeez. And then within 2 months, I skipped every other motor and I went to K. And I wanted to launch it, kissing our waiver, which was 10,000 feet. So I launched it up to 9,500 feet
nice.
On the K motor. And I had two Stratologgers in there with independent pyro, because when I can't see the rocket and that sort of thing, that freaks me out, and I want to make sure I keep everything and everyone safe.
I'm just like you. I have the same concerns when I start crossing into that altitude.
And it just, you know, I can't tell you, actually, I'm sure you know it, the adrenaline rush you get from doing this with each of these flights, you know, because they were major increments. In my adult life, I have never gotten so nervous that I get shaky. But on those flights, I had the shakes, you know, I had to take extra time putting the rocket together because I couldn't even hold my hand straight.
I know that feeling too. The first time I launched an L motor, it was a mile. I ended up doing over a mile and just passed Mach 1 on this thing. And I was debating it. I was sitting there. I'm holding this L motor, an L1000, you know, single-use motor. And I'm sitting there going, do I do this or do I do the K? Do I do this or do I do the K? And I was like, what are you, an idiot? Do the L. So I had an 18,000-foot waiver, and it just – and I was literally very nervous about it. It was like – I think one of my rocket buddies, Andrew – hi, Andrew was like, I've never seen you so nervous about anything. I was like, what? Did I look nervous? I wasn't talking. No, I was like, I could just tell because I was kind of pacing around, you know.
Yeah.
But then when it flew, it was just awesome. So, I mean, that's why we do it, right? You know, that's what it's crazy about.
And, you know, I mean, it was also, I can't tell you that, I guess I can, the obsession that I had, because no sooner had I flown my K motor, and I'm thinking about my L3 project, and I decided I wanted to make it completely from glass cloth, completely from the ground up.
Nice.
And I didn't build it just for L3. I built it to go all the way to O motors, and it's a near minimum diameter. I think it's 4 1/3 inches in diameter, and it takes 98 millimeter motors.
Dang. Wow.
Cool.
So I got my level three, I think it was 7 months after I got my L1, and then 10 months after my L1, I was in Colorado launching my epic flight to 27,700 feet.
That's your highest launch, right?
That's my highest launch. And then we moved and my job conditions changed and that sort of thing. And so I've kind of been nerding out on the computer side, working on Insane Rockets app and the web page, and that's filling that void. And I've rinsed and repeat all my 9 to 12,000 feet launches.
Wow. So as a programmer working around the app, that's amazing. That's a great story. It's like, I thought I was moving along fast, but you got me beat, man. Hands down. Cause I got back into it about the same time you did. And I'm just starting my level three project now, but that's very cool. So with the app, how much time do you actually, I know it's a labor of love and passion. God knows, we all know that. But how long did it take you to come up with the initial like code for that? Because you're tapping all the pieces of the hardware pretty much, I would think, right?
Well, yes, it was incremental though. I mean, my first version, I think that I just barely reported. I just gave telemetry data and video because that's what I really wanted. And then I started pulling more and more of the data. And then I started getting regimented where, okay, I want it on exactly 1/20th of a second intervals, which is going to change, actually. I think during all the way up to apogee, I want to go to 1/100th of a second intervals.
Okay.
But it's, you know, each of the steps, it was incremental at the time. And one of the largest efforts, actually, is when I decided I wanted to give this to the world of rocketry to use was to make it user friendly where it wasn't just for me, you know.
Big, and, yeah, that's big.
Of course, yeah, that takes a huge amount of time and effort. And I would say that was probably three times the initial development effort. at least, if not more, and getting all the settings and that sort of. But the whole thing has benefited as a whole from it too, because now it's easier to debug, it's easier to program. I can run actual simulation data on it. So in a lot of ways, I can test it without even launching it now. So it's come a long way. It's been a huge project. In fact, I joke out on the rocket field that I get paid top dollar to build an application like this. So.
Right.
Cool.
Well, that's just it goes to show you how obsessive this hobby can be. I think we all know that, but you know, it's still fun to talk about, especially because everybody has their own line of obsession, you know, and everybody takes it the way that they want to take it based on their own obsession. And there's so many paths that you can take with these days with all the technology that's out there that could be a part of it if you really wanted to use it, but you don't have to. And that's sure, what's cool
absolutely.
About it.
Cool.
I like the tech though, so that's the best part for me. So I'm trying to figure out. Okay, so I got this thing I'm gonna make out of plywood. No one to go Mach 1, huh? Let's see.
Can I do it? Well, cool. We're gonna take a quick break right here, and we're gonna go into our sponsor, Sirius Rocketry. And
okay.
Sirius Rocketry is a full line rocketry store by a rocketeer for rocketeers. And he carries some great kits from some great manufacturers, such as Sirius Rocketry, of course, Estes, Aerotech, Quest, Rocketarium, Dr. Zooch. Also supplies from Top Flight Recovery, and Idle Rockets, and more. And Gene, what do we have on your list of favorites?
I think I'm going to take a little bit of a departure. I usually talk about kits, but I also like to stress a little bit about Sirius Rocketry as far as the motors go. Now, they sell a complete line of motors that range from your hobby motors, your Estes black powder motors, all the way up to the high power hardware and reloadables. So I think that it's kind of good to touch upon the different aspects of Sirius, because it's such a big site that it's hard to just zero in on something. As we look at some of their motors and some of their hardware, they have a complete line going down to Aerotech hobby delays. Now, this is one thing that is kind of interesting for just the guys out there using E's and F's composites, just getting into it. Sirius has some things from Aerotech that are hobby delay kits that actually, for 18, 24, 29 millimeter reloads, that if you don't like the delay on the kit that you get, you can just swap it out for one of these, and they come in different times. So you don't have to drill it out or worry about stuff if you really just, I want a 7-second delay or a 9-second delay. They go into them. They're cheap. You get, for a 24 mil hobby delay kit, you get three kits, three of the delays for $6.99. That's just an example, and they're all about the same price. But those are the things, the little details that Sirius goes through about that stuff, offering these products, I think is really important, because as you go through the hobby, you find that there's some little pieces and odds and ends and things that you need. And I could go through a ton of stuff at Sirius, but I encourage you guys to go and look at it. That's just one small thing. I mean, as far as all of your hardware needs, if you're thinking about getting into composite motors, they have an amazing line of single-use motors to start off with, and if you feel like you want to get into reloads, they've got a complete list of all of the reload hardware for Aerotech, which I think is awesome. Now, we know that CTI is we wish them well. They're coming around again, but as we wait for them, Aerotech has a great line of stuff that's available in single-use or reloads, and the prices are good. They're better than most websites. So, taking a little departure, talking about other things that are serious besides just kits.
Hey, that's fine. And when you order these other things from Sirius Rocketry, just remember that they have real-time stock tracking, which lets you order with confidence from their online store. You don't have to call or write or anything like that to see if something is really in stock. The website keeps you well-informed and up-to-date, keeping track of the inventory as everyone buys it, and so much more. You can also ask them about their club specials as well. Visit their websites at siriusrocketry.biz and .com. Sirius Rocketry, for the Sirius Rocketeer.
To discuss this or other episodes of The Rocketry Show, head to our discussion forum at forum.therocketryshow.com.
Welcome back to the Rocketry Show. We are joined with Jason Cook, our very special guest from Insane Rocketry, as well as the other Insane Rocketeers, Whoosh, Boom, and the Noob.
So we were talking before the break about the app and some development time and stuff. A couple other questions is, like, if you get, like, this is to Jason, if you get like a let's say a $50 Android phone, how hard is it on the hardware to get all that data, especially if you want to go to 1/100 of a second to get samples? Is the hardware going to be able to, have you run it on lower end hardware to see how well it does?
It does very well. The Nexus 4 is probably the one that generates the most heat, and it's been known for that. And I get over 4 hours of use with launches and that sort of thing from that device. With a Nexus 5, which you can usually pick up on eBay, a very nice one for less than $80, you get your full 1080p. You get all your telemetry data and that sort of thing, and that's going to last all day. Even at the higher sample rate, I don't see either of those being affected. Your biggest reduction is actually the video. The video drains your battery a bit, because it's having to store all that to memory and process it and that sort of thing.
Do you have the ability to clock it down as far as the, you know, going full res to down to something that's a little bit easier, like 480 maybe?
You can. You just go into your phone settings and you tell it to record video, or set the default to whatever you want through your Android settings, and that's what it's going to record at. Again, once you get to the Nexus 4 has been known as a heat issue, a heat generator and a battery drainer. So I don't know how much changing your video resolution is going to change that fact. Disabling the cellular network would have an impact on it. And I go through all kinds of different things that you can do to improve your time. In most cases, 4 hours is plenty, even with that older device. And again, any modern or more modern phone, the Nexus 5 and up, you aren't going to have any issues. I haven't checked the other phones, but I would guess that there's other vendors that are equivalent to the Nexus 4 that would not have that issue at all, that you would get 6 to 8 hours of continuous use without any problem.
That sounds good. As a quick aside, so you probably wouldn't recommend sending up a Note 7 in a rocket. They've had a, I'm just saying.
You're
bad. Well, I mean, you know, if you need an additional pyro style device for a second stage burn or something like that, maybe that could help you out.
I'm sorry, I had to throw that out there, but we can laugh about it, right?
A little black powder on there, that'll deploy some shoots for you.
Yeah, there you go, you're all set.
No, I was checking out some stuff online, and I know that we got a message. Do you have the one about the Evel Knievel, the steam rocket question, Corny? Because I want to tie it into the fact that Jason was out there with Insane Rocketry.
Oh, you want to go through the email? Okay.
Yeah, let's go, actually,
at this point, the email was in the last show, so
okay.
There are some conversations going back and forth for those of you who did not hear it. Where they were commenting on the previous show before that, where I mentioned it was steam powered, and we got a note in the mailbag asking, you know, are you sure that's right now? That, but we were both researching it, and it definitely was steam powered. So. And it's kind of unique how it was.
And believe it or not, the original Sky Cycle that was used by Evel Knievel was designed by a rocket scientist. He was a pioneer in the American stuff, especially in Navy and launching at sea, that sort of thing. Robert Truax was the original designer. And the everyone always considered this Truax his failure in design. And what it ended up being is, if you look at all the footage, you can see that the there was a problem. There was the parachute deployed while it was still on the rail, and it still made it over the canyon with all that drag. And then the wind blew it back to the closer side of the canyon. Well, when Eddie Braun wanted to do this, he contacted, I believe, and I may be not getting my facts right, but I believe that he contacted the son of Robert Truax, which was Scott Truax. And Scott wanted to prove his dad's design would have worked. And again, a lot of rocket science, even though it's a steam-powered motor and that sort of thing, with it being a rocket scientist that actually built it, it had 10,000 horsepower, 6,000 pounds of thrust. Mm-hmm. It went from 0 to 400 miles an hour in 3 seconds. They had an incredible design team, including Kai Michelson, which developed the ballistic drogue parachutes. They actually had to make the drogue chutes with ballistic compressed gas canisters to shoot them out quickly away from the propulsion thrust path, because they were afraid that the heat from the steam motor would damage the main parachute. And I mean, if you look at the back end of the thing, it looks so complicated. It's more complicated than most rockets I've ever seen. Actually, more complicated, I believe, than any of the high-powered rockets that I've ever seen. And they even worked with John Dunham from the Second Chance Company, and he makes emergency recovery chutes for small aircraft. And he worked tirelessly on it, because he was in charge of basically keeping Eddie Braun alive.
That would be a motivation, I would think.
Yes.
So what was the experience like being out there?
Well, I actually wasn't, but my phone was. I shipped my phone to them. I knew that they were on a very tight schedule, and so I had my app all set to go, where it would give me the telemetry data and that sort of thing where I was. And they duct taped my phone inside the cockpit, and it recorded all the telemetry data from that launch.
Cool.
And I'm excited to see their movie that's coming out next year. I'm excited to see what they do with that data and that sort of thing. I'm not privy to share any of that information, but I was I'm very proud that Insane Rockets was on that launch with them, that historic flight.
Well, I believe that's a scoop, because I don't think you've told anybody that. That I, you know, I mean, I haven't heard.
No, you're the first, and I talked with Eddie Braun via Facebook and made sure that he was cool with me mentioning it, and he was, as far as that goes. Notice I'm not getting into stats and figures and that sort of thing. I can nerd out for hours on that sort of thing, but I just can't do it.
All righty, well, here it is, Rocketry Show exclusive.
Boom.
That's awesome.
Cool.
I can't wait to see it when that thing comes out. Let us know. Keep us posted when that movie comes out, because we would love to check it out. Even do a movie review, perhaps. Who knows?
We'll do. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people think, okay, they frown on stuff like this because it's a violation of NAR, but this is not anything with NAR except for it's sharing rocket science.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is it was a stunt, just like jumping from the edge of space, you know, or jumping without a parachute or that sort of thing. And man, I'm just totally impressed with those people like Eddie Braun that can go out and do something like this. And what motivated him to do it is he's a stuntman for Hollywood, and he got into it because that was his dream after meeting Evel Knievel when he was a kid. Way to, you know, he's close to retirement as a stuntman. I think he's going into more stunt coordination and that sort of thing now. And again, I may be explaining my facts wrong a little bit, but that's the general gist. And he wanted to do this to prove you know, that Evel Knievel would have done it had it not been for that malfunction, because everyone always thought Evel Knievel had failed at this too, and it wasn't.
Right.
Everything had they had more testing and solved that parachute issue, he would have made it right over, no problem.
That's really cool, because it's a great story. It's a great American story of vindication and proving that, you know, that the original designers and had done the right thing, and, you know, there's just because of one mishap and all this stuff. But to have, it's a good story. And it doesn't have anything to do with the National Association of Rocketry. It is a stunt, like you explained. And I think people need to, like, just keep that in the back of their mind, because it's a great story. People talk about it, whether they, you know, whether they want to complain about it or not, it's still a great victory for a lot of people. And that's what it's about, human spirit. It's not about just rockets. It's more than that. And I think it's really cool.
All right. It's very, very cool. Now, getting back to the Insane Rocketry app, tell us a little bit more about the development of that.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't just build an app without making a website to go with it. And that's where insanerocketry.com came from. And I would say that I've spent the same amount of hours building that out as I did building the actual app itself. I wanted a place where all my friends could post their rocket launches, catalog all their rockets that they have built, rate rocketry kits on a scale of 1 to 100, or I'm sorry, 0 to 100. You can I assess all of your rockets. So for example, my EZI-65, you can, if you were to click on that rocket in my collection, I show all the launches that it has. I show the average thrust. You can click on any of the launches. You can see the photo galleries associated with it. You can see the videos. It's all easy to use. Could be used on phones as well as tablets and the computer, all of your modern devices. You can post club events. You can, you know, again, I can't stress the amount of images. I've made it streamlined so that it's more like a photo bucket or something like that for being able to get massive amounts of images up there at one time.
Cool.
And I'm quite proud of it. And all this stuff is free. That goes with the app and insanerocketry.com. And you know, I want to share what I have built with everyone, because I think that rocketry needs stuff like this.
Agreed. A lot totally of cool agree. Things. A lot of cool tools, yeah. And toys. Help you know what your rocket's doing, and that's the part I really enjoy with rocketry a lot these days, is when I have the electronics on board and I'm able to look and see what the rocket did exactly, what's the performance. And the other thing you can do too, especially when you have video to go along with it, like ground video and air video, one of the things that I find that's really helpful with all this data is you can align your data in time with the video you see. So if there's some anomaly that happens, you could look at the data and see aerodynamically what happened, you know, and the more information you have, the easier and better it is to troubleshoot if you need through some rocketry things, or in other cases it's just fun to look at and see, wow, this is what happened when that happened, and look at that that happened too.
So how many of you guys have seen the videos with go ahead, Dana.
Oh, I was going to say, what I really like about this is, like, I'm interested in getting into that telemetry stuff and saying, okay, what has my rocket done? You know, up to this point, I've basically just watched them go up, come down. I've put a couple altimeters in. But, you know, you start as a newbie, you start like Googling this and I'm like, oh, it seems so complicated. Like, I don't even know half the stuff they're talking about. But if all this is really, it's just an app and you download it and to a phone, and it's really simple. And I really love the fact that you are just giving this away, because, you know, rocketry is so much of it's really expensive and people are willing to pay for, you know, cool functionality and everything. But man, for some of us, it's just, like, just getting it started with that stuff, it's just, there's a real hurdle to get over. And so when something like this comes along and it's just something you can play with and experiment with, and at most what it's going to cost you is a cheap phone if you screw it up and you lose it, I just think it's really great. And, you know, those of us who maybe don't have as big of a budget or as much experience with electronics can still get involved in some of that more advanced stuff, like, okay, what did my rocket do other than just go up and come down, you know? I really think it's great.
Thank you. And you know, I'm not going to stop. I'm too addicted to rocketry, and I keep chasing that next cool, shiny object, you know? It's a addiction that is never going to get completed.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick and just let you know, when you said you're not going to stop, you know what that's called? That's called stamina.
Okay, well I'll try to convince my wife of that one. On the alignment of data and actually being able to watch videos and seeing the data at the same time, if you go to YouTube and you type EZ, the letter I, 65 at a space, K260, you will see one of my recent flights to 10,000 feet. And that's exactly what I do. I show the G forces on three axes. I show the direction that the rocket is going, the spin rotation. You see onboard footage of the rocket launching at the same time that you're seeing the ground footage. I think you'll enjoy it. And it is.
That's cool.
It's an a stamina building video.
So what was that again?
Very hard to recover from.
EZI. What was the rest of it?
EZI. It's the EZI from Loc. EZI 65. So EZI 65, and then the motor was a K260. So EZI 65 K260.
All righty.
We will. Okay, that'll work.
Head out.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Very cool.
So are you thinking about incorporating, is it possible even to do some kind of a dashware thing that it does it in your app in real time?
Yes, absolutely. I read my mind on that one. I definitely want to make it where you can optionally add the gauges where it happens right to the video, and you don't have to use a after processing program like Dashware, which is what I used for this one.
Okay. Dashware is a cool program for people that are new to that. It's a free download on Windows that you can sync up data from an altimeter. I believe it takes a CSV file. And then you can time it out to the video, but you have to manually do it in post-production after you get the video back and get the video in the computer. It's a neat system. I like it, but I've always thought that would be cool if there was something that could do all that in one shot. And it sounds like it's on your plate already, so that's cool.
Excellent. It is with me starting. I've just started a new job. If taking something like that on will be a little bit further down the road.
Of course.
But I will definitely do that. My next flying project, as far as stuff goes, is next year. I'm hoping to fly to between 40 to 50,000 feet on a O3400. I'm building a minimum diameter rocket for that, where you actually see the metal casing, and I will be laminating Kevlar and carbon fiber directly to it for the fins, etc. I'll be putting leading edges of aluminum to dissipate heat, that sort of thing. Don't know if it'll work. It's a risky endeavor, but I'm excited about it.
Risk is our business. I heard Kirk say that once.
Cool. Well, this has been a lot of fun, and
thanks for
hanging out and not only talking about the product there for Insane Rocketry, but also hanging out and talking rockets with us. So double bonus. So great.
And don't forget that exclusive.
That for sure. You know, the Rocketry Show exclusive. So that's cool information as well. So we'll be keeping an eye out for you and looking around for things. And I'll once I get into rockets big enough to fit a phone in it, I'm definitely going to be playing around with that.
Oh, it's one step for you, Corny.
I've got one on my plate. It's going to be called the Hammerhead, and it's for rockets that aren't big enough to hold the phone. That'll be an interesting project, but you can imagine how it's going to look.
I have an idea.
Yeah, you would. If anybody, you would.
Cool. Alrighty then. Well, that's a wrap for the show here, and we'll look forward to hanging out with you next time here at the Rocketry Show at therocketryshow.com. As always, if you've got any comments or anything that you want to say to us, you can use our mailbag. Mailbag at therocketryshow.com. You can also go to the website and click on Contact Us, and they'll bring up a little form. You can type in things. Most people send us messages that way, and that goes through our email boxes as well. And if you want to leave a voice message, you can click on the little voicemail thing on the side of the website, whether it's on your phone or your computer, your notebook, whatever. You don't have to be technically inclined. You just kind of hit record and just start talking. Wherever microphone is on your device, it'll just start recording. So cool stuff there. And that's why you can keep a hold of us. We have more information on how to do that as the show wraps up. Meanwhile, from all of us here in the show, we're going to go with Jim's closing.
Keep your eyes on the skies.
All right, everybody. We'll catch you later here on the Rocketry Show. It's Whoosh.
Boom.
And the noob.
Exactly.
Thanks for spending your time with us here at The Rocketry Show. We would love to hear from you. Send your feedback and suggestions to ideas@therocketryshow.com. For question and answer topics or messages to the hosts of the show, use mailbag@therocketryshow.com. Thanks again for listening to The Rocketry Show.
Thanks for listening to The Rocketry Show. You can interact with The Rocketry Show by going to therocketryshow.com. CG and The Rocket Noob have personal rocketry blogs you can visit. You can find the Rocket Noob's blog at rocketnoob.blogspot.com.
rocketn00b.blogspot.com.
CG's rocket blog is at cpgaeronautics.com. Also, vote for the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcast aggregators.
Batteries not included. Member FDIC. Must be 21 or over.